This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. The book by a hippie doctor on the team that ended smallpox in India, another from the Oscar Mayer heir who gave away his inheritance as a young man. Today, our last gift package for you is a new book that systematically argues that rest, zoning out, chilling, napping, going for a run, taking a sabbatical, is where creativity comes from. Alex Pang is visiting scholar at Stanford. The book is called Rest, Why You Get More Done When You Work Less. Dr. Pang, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, David.
I don't know if you saw this. There's data in the Harvard Business School this week. People who are always busy are seen as more important. I once had an agent take 14 phone calls during a 40-minute meeting I had with him. I figured he was important. What's your reaction when someone is looking like Mr. Busy or Ms. Busy all the time?
That result is absolutely not surprising. I mean, I think that we have done a great job in modern society of turning busyness into a kind of professional performance. And the problem with that, though, is that busyness and productivity are absolutely not the same things.
Your thesis, part of it, is that zoning out is actually productive. How so?
Well, the right kind of zoning out is productive. So what I found when I got into the literature and neuroscience and the psychology of creativity and looking actually at the biographies of Beethoven or Stephen King, was that they learn to practice what I call deliberate rest, which is resting in ways that allow their creative subconscious, their kind of creative minds, to keep working on problems even after they've put down their pencils and started going for a walk or going for a swim. And it turns out that this ability to pass ideas between your conscious, focused mind and your unconscious is something that people can cultivate, they can develop, they can get better at. So this is why it turns out that doing absolutely nothing, or what looks like absolutely nothing to your boss, can actually help you be more productive.
I was interested. I mean, there's some scientific data here that you marshal to make this argument. When you stick people's heads in an MRI scanner and they're just kind of spacing out, their brain is not completely asleep.
Right. It turns out that when you unfocus your mind and you seem to zone out, you think your brain is shutting down, but actually there's a lot of stuff going on. It's what neuroscientists call the default mode network. And what's interesting about it is that your resting brain turns out to be just as active as your brain when you're concentrating. But the parts of the brain that are sort of talking to each other, that are connected, are a little different than the ones that are linked together when we're focused. And that tends to be a set of connections that is a little more unfiltered. And so what that means is that it's processing ideas, it's sort of considering things that your conscious mind would say, oh, that's kind of stupid. But that means that the default mode lets you explore ideas, connections that consciously you would sort of disregard, and allows you to have those aha moments or sudden insights that creative people prize and that we actually all experience at some point in our lives.
Tell the story briefly of the Israeli man who had that terrible stroke. He was not an artist before he was hit with the stroke, but what happened?
This was a man in his 40s who was, I believe, an accountant. And he had a stroke that sort of flooded part of his brain with blood and so essentially shut it down. What this meant was that another part of his brain, though, was still very active. And he became very artistic. And sort of during this stroke and while he was recovering from it, he had this tremendous impulse to paint. And he actually became a pretty decent artist over the course of several months. But as he recovered, as his brain got back to normal, the desire to paint and his ability to paint actually kind of receded. It was a little bit of a Flowers for Algernon story. And he ended up, I believe, making a full recovery. But the desire to paint and the ability to do so went away. But the reason that this is interesting is that it demonstrates that there are how it is that parts of the brain, when they're active or inactive, can contribute to different sorts of cognitive activity, to sort of rational thinking on one hand, or to more sort of irrational creative activity on the other. And that case helped us sort of push forward a little bit our understanding of which parts of the brain interact in our more creative or more spontaneous moments and which ones are operating in our more rational periods.
Overall, you're finding some companies, some managers are embracing this. Some would actually accept the fact that you're sitting there daydreaming or you want to take a little extra vacation.
You know, I think that what we're beginning to see with some companies in Silicon Valley and elsewhere is a recognition that encouraging people to perform busyness, to work constantly, to check their email at night, to be heroic and not take vacations is counterproductive both in the short run and in the long run. There's actually a century's worth of research that shows that chronic overwork leads very quickly to burnout, to lower levels of productivity for both individuals and for organizations, and can even encourage things like unethical behavior and cheating. But I think what we are beginning to see are companies that are saying, we have the tools, thanks to technology, that allow us to make our people a lot more productive. And what we're going to do instead of using these to get more work out of people in 8 hours and cut our workforce is to have people work for 6 hours or even five. There's a company called Tower Paddleboards in Southern California that's famous for implementing a 5-hour workday without losing productivity and actually becoming more profitable. And I think it's very encouraging that there are companies here in Silicon Valley that are run by people who are, you know, veterans of Facebook or Apple or Google or, you know, famously hard-charging companies that reward and expect long hours, who've said, you know, some of this overwork is just bad planning and bad management, and we're actually going to get better products and better code and keep our people if we don't force them into these endless cycles of overwork. The research on this is very clear, and we're beginning to see companies starting to take it seriously and figuring out how they can apply it in their own workplaces.
So you have the ones who are becoming enlightened on this point, but then there are the Steve Jobs, or you think of Elon Musk over at Tesla and his other companies. These are hard-driving folks, and they set a different example.
Absolutely, yes. And you know, for every person who is trying to or implement a real 40-hour week in the workplace, there are a dozen who take the view that if you're not working 80 or 90 hours, then you're doing it wrong. But you know, I would point to the examples of people like Charles Darwin, who, it turns out, when you dive into his schedule, led a really fascinating life. Because on one hand, he organized his entire life around his work. You know, this is someone who moved from London to the country so that he would have space to think and be free from the distractions of city life. On the other hand, Darwin didn't spend his whole day working. He would spend about 4, maybe 5 hours or so in his study, and then he would spend the rest of the day out on walks or puttering around in the garden or sort of playing with the kids. And in those 4 or 5 hours a day, he wrote The Origin of Species and The Descent of Man. So I think nobody could sort of challenge Darwin's productivity or his commitment to his work, but I think we can all learn from him that super long hours are not self-evidently the way to do really great work.
And for those of us trying to be more creative, you know, take a nap, take a long walk, don't let the vacation accumulate. But how about this one, Alex? A friend of mine read her union contract recently and to her astonishment realized that after many years in a position, she was eligible to take a big sabbatical without pay. She's disappearing for 6 months. I mean, you have to have the savings to support that, I suppose, and also a work culture that will give the job back at the end of this properly. But how about a sabbatical?
Oh, sabbaticals are terrific. I mean, I think you're exactly right that sort of arranging the finances for it is always a challenge. But people who take them, whether they are Bill Gates 1 week a year that he spends in a cabin reading technical papers, or Stefan Sagmeister, who takes a year off every 7 years and closes his shop, goes to Bali or travels, and then comes back a year later with a lot of really fresh ideas. These people find that sabbaticals can be professionally life-changing. They can be periods where they investigate entirely new fields, where they finish big projects, and they often rediscover what it is that they love best about their work, even in fields that don't look on the face of it to be creative the way that, let's say, you know, painting is creative. Sabbaticals turn out to be terrifically valuable.
Stefan Sagmeister, the famous designer, of course, right?
Yes, of course. Sorry. Yeah, he designs album covers. He does performance art. He is one of the great graphic artists of the 20th century.
And overall, don't feel guilty if you want to take a moment to yourself or a moment to reflect.
Absolutely not. You know, I think that we get a lot of messages that say that if you are sort of not actively busy, if you're not doing things, you know, crushing it, then you're doing it wrong. And I think that what we need to recognize is, first of all, that it is worth taking rest seriously, that it is that we'll have better lives, we will be better people, and we'll be more productive. If we give ourselves the opportunity to recover our mental and physical energies from work, if we learn how to work rest into the daily pattern of our working lives so that we can sort of become more creative, and if we do things like take vacations and sabbaticals seriously so that we have the opportunity to recharge and to have longer creative lives.
Alex Soojung Kim Pong is a visiting scholar at Stanford. His book is called Rest, Why You Get More Done When You Work Less. Dr. Pong, thank you.
Oh, thank you, David.